You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everyone. Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter, Todd Zalecki. And Todd, as we record this podcast, suddenly the Phillies are red hot. They sweep the Diamondbacks, and they do it in exciting fashion. On Wednesday, they get the 10-inning win. The winning run comes in on a sac fly, but nonetheless, they win in extras. Tuesday night, they win late, walk-off walk by Ryan Howard. And then Monday, and the game that I kind of want to focus on more than those other two, they win 8-0 because Vince Velasquez is tremendous in his return from the disabled list. And let's start there. Five innings, so he only goes five, but he allows, obviously, five scoreless, five hits. He strikes out seven in that stretch, and he goes to 6-2 on the season. Was there a reason he only went five? Because he was at 84 pitches. Was it just a matter of his first time back off the DL? They want to ease him back in as far as pitch count goes?
Yeah, that's exactly it. They had him on a pitch count right around there. You know, they kind of get a feel for how the game is going. But they want to be very, very, very careful with Vince Velasquez the rest of the season, not only because he's coming back from an injury, even though everybody, by all accounts, says it wasn't that serious, but because he's never thrown more than 124 innings in a season, so they were going to be careful with him even before the injury, and also because they had some durability concerns, injury concerns with him when they made that trade with Houston in December. So you put all those things together, and they're just not going to go out there and really, truly turn him loose. In fact, really the rest of the season, I would be surprised if he threw 115, 120 pitches in a game the rest of the year. Now, not to say it couldn't happen. This is just my own personal opinion. But they just want to be careful with him because he is such a key piece to this team's future. We've seen his talent. We've seen how much he can dominate. And they just don't want to go to a situation where they start having to go out there, throw 7-8 innings, start after start after start, suffers another injury, and boy, what were we thinking? We're rebuilding. We really don't need him to go crazy this year. We want him to go guns blazing, next season and beyond.
So, yeah, great stuff out of Velasquez. You look at the rest of the rotation, not as positive right now. Adam Morgan moved out of the rotation. He was just 1-6 with a 6.55 ERA, so obviously the struggles were there. And I guess he's never actually pitched out of a bullpen, so that's certainly going to be interesting. And then there's Aaron Nola, who's obviously kind of suffering through the first real bump in the road as far as his career goes. What is the thought about Morgan as a bullpen arm?
You know, I think what they're hoping there is that his stuff will play up a little bit better in kind of shorter doses. You know, they are going to use him as a long man, I guess, but they just think he's got four pretty good pitches. He hasn't shown up in the rotation this season, although he did pitch pretty effectively out of the rotation last season, or I should say competently out of the rotation last season. I think they're just hoping that maybe a different look, maybe just facing a team one time around, maybe allowing him to kind of let loose a little bit, maybe kind of pick up his velocity a little bit, will help him pitch with a little bit more success. I was a little surprised at the move only because, while he has struggled this year, like I said, last year he had an ERA of about 4.5 after 16 starts, which isn't great, but when you're a rebuilding team and you know how much pitchers can get injured, starting pitchers can get injured, he's a nice guy to have in your back pocket if a need should arise. But that's kind of what they're thinking about right now.
And what is going on with Nola? Because it's been smooth sailing, really, from draft day, basically, until now. You know you're going to face, at some point, a need to adjust and that kind of thing. But he got off to such a good start this year, I felt like maybe he had even dodged that. But now he's finally kind of regressing a little bit.
Yeah, it's crazy. You mentioned that he's been kind of smooth sailing since he's drafted. I mean, really, smooth sailing since the beginning of his life, and this is really like the first time ever, if you think about it, this is literally the first time ever in his entire life he's ever faced any adversity pitching-wise, not in high school, not really in college, not through the minor leagues, not through about his first 20, 25 starts in the big leagues. These last four starts are pretty much it, and I think it's a couple things. One, his mechanics are just out of whack. He's talked a lot about he's kind of not finishing his pitches. He's not releasing the ball with his hands on top of the ball. It's a little bit off to the side, so he's kind of cutting off his fastball, cutting off his pitches that are a little bit flatter. They have a little bit less bite, and they're a lot less effective. And then also, for a guy like Aaron Nola, his whole thing, his whole calling card is command. And he doesn't walk anybody. He doesn't hit any. He doesn't hit batters. He hit three batters over the weekend in San Francisco, and that is so not Aaron Nola. So clearly he's got some mechanical issues going on right now. But I think the other thing also is battling his confidence. You know, I talked to Carlos Ruiz after a game on Sunday in San Francisco, and he says, yeah, I can see, you know, his confidence is down a little bit. Pete McCann said after the game, you know, he looks a little confused out there, and which is understandable. Like I said, he's never, ever struggled at any level before. And now after pitching great, really, through the first, whatever, 10 starts of the season, I think one of the last times we talked, I was saying how I kind of was looking at potential all-stars for the Phillies, and he was actually making a strong case for himself after his first 10 starts. He was top 10 in ERA. He was top 10 in WHIP. He was top 3 in strikeout-to-walk ratio, and now he's really struggling. So I think he's got to work on his kind of get that confidence back, get that swagger back, and also iron out those mechanical issues that that have led to him struggling with his command.
Todd, one of the reasons that the Phillies brought in Jeremy Hellickson to this team this season, I mean, obviously it's to fill out the rotation, but I thought, hey, it'd be great if this guy gets off to a good start. We can spin him at the trade deadline and add some more young talent. You look at his numbers, that doesn't look like something that would be easy to do, 5-6 of 4-2-3. But today, or just within the last couple hours as we record this, the Braves were able to trade Bud Norris. Now, they didn't get a ton back in return from the Dodgers, but they got two young arms, not prospects, but young arms to add to their system. Is there a correlation there? Because Norris's numbers, ERA is almost identical. He had been in a slight uptick recently, but Hellickson had some good starts early in the season. Can the Phillies get some encouragement from that and maybe use that to set a market for Hellickson?
Yeah, I think so. What's interesting, though, is in conversations I've had with people with the Phillies about the trade deadline is this. While they are certainly interested in upgrading or kind of trading some veteran pieces for the future, they also don't feel as compelled to do it this year as certainly as they did last year. Last year, you knew they had to trade Cole Hamels. They had to get rid of Papelbon. If they could trade any of these other guys, they needed to do it. They were in a free fall. This year, they like enough of the progress that some of these guys in the minor leagues have made. So kind of going back to Hellickson, you know, you mentioned the Bud Norris deal. The Phillies kind of feel the same way. Like, could they trade him and get a couple of young players, maybe not top prospects? Yes, they could. But they don't feel compelled to do it, and they don't feel compelled to do it because they're not really trying to cut salary, and they still see some value in Hellickson kind of mentoring Nola, Velasquez, Jared Eichhoff, Zach Eflin the rest of the season. And so if they don't feel that they can get somebody that they actually see helping them down the road, it sounds to me like they might just finish out the season with Jeremy Hellickson and just, you know, have him kind of guide these young guys through the rest of the year. Because again, they just don't feel like they're forced into making any type of trade. And that really goes for pretty much everybody. I've been getting asked questions about, you know, wow, you know, do you think they'll trade Andres Blanco, or do you think they would trade Andrew Bailey or David Hernandez or Genmar Gomez? And my answer is absolutely they would trade these guys, but I just don't see them trading any of these guys for a super fringy prospect that you kind of is almost organizational depth, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Totally makes sense. The All-Star game is just a little over a week away at this point. The voting actually ending tonight at midnight. Now, the voting isn't something that really affects Phillies players because there's not going to be a Phillies player starting in the game, but there will be a Philly on the National League roster. Now, the Futures game rosters are also announced this week, and a couple of double-A Phillies prospects will head to San Diego for that. You have Dylan Cousins will be on the U.S. team. He's an outfielder down in Redding. And Ricardo Pinto will be on the World team. He's a pitcher also pitching for the Fightins right now, or for Redding as well. But when you look at the All-Star game itself, who's the leading candidate here, Todd? Because my thought is the Phillies probably only going to get one player. Is it Odubel Herrera? Is it a pitcher? Who do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Odubel Herrera. Like I mentioned earlier, I really thought Nola had a great shot up until his last four starts, and he kind of sealed his fate, unfortunately. But, yeah, I think Odubel Herrera is the best shot. He's got a high batting average. He's among the league leaders in on-base percentage. He's been very, very productive this season. You know, he ranks among the leaders in OPS, among outfielders, particularly center fielders, National League center fielders. So for that reason, I think he's the most likely guy. I think an outside shot would be Genmar Gomez. He's got 20-21 saves. So that reason, I think he could have a shot. But other than that, really, you go around the board, offensively, certainly, you know, there's nobody else that can come close to Herrera's numbers or really deserve serious all-star consideration. And the rest of the pitching staff, you know, Velasquez has been able to stay healthy. Maybe Jared Eichhoff has pitched pretty well, but not as well as some of these other top pitchers in the National League. So I think it's really Herrera and a very outside chance for Gomez.
And we will find out early next week. Great stuff. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.